And welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, also a homeschool leader out here in the state of Colorado. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy also with us. And Bill, you and I have worked with Christian families now for, I don't know, 25, 30, 35 years. How old are you now, Bill?
I'm 70.
You're 70. Bill, you don't look a year under
69. And we're easy there.
69.
Easy there.
Okay. All right. Well, we have talked to the pop culture issues, and we have warned parents again and again about popular culture. We have warned parents about the public schools. The influences are strong. And, Bill, I have to believe that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. These aren't just human powers that bring this incredibly powerful zeitgeist to bear against kids. And it's not just the schools, it's popular culture. You know, it's their iPhone, it's Hollywood, it's Disney. These are influences that may be more powerful than their schoolwork. Because it's more interesting, because it has more of a lure to it, because it's got more of the Pied Piper of Hamelin effect on them.
It's always been the case. I mean, the schools don't teach content. They teach context.
Yeah.
They teach, here's what the culture says you should believe. They teach values. They don't necessarily teach reading, writing, and arithmetic anymore.
But more so for popular culture, wouldn't you say? More so for popular culture. Popular culture presents a worldview. You watch a Disney movie. Bill used to go through movies and point out various worldview aspects that people just don't pick up right off the bat. Now, you would think they would when it comes to homosexuality. And yet, it seems like they miss it. Somehow, they're missing the worldview of Frozen or Beauty and the Beast. Now, you just wonder, okay, so you get homosexuality creeps into Beauty and the Beast 2017. Would the same parents be okay with cross-species mating perversions in Lassie 2025?
The way things are going, and it's probably going to be subtly presented, the answer would be they're going to be clueless.
Yeah. And it's sad that's the case. Now, friends, just quickly, for those of you who haven't followed the temperature rise for the frogs in the slowly boiling water, if you haven't followed it along for the last 3 years, actually, everything's happened in the last 3 years, Bill. Basically, Disney outed in 3 years. There was a little bit with Mulan in the 90s, but generally, everything outed over the last 3 years. Andy Mack in 2017, first Disney character to say, quote-unquote, I'm gay. Kid looked like he was 13 years old. First brief homosexual scene in a children's movie was Beauty and the Beast, 2017. Same year, Disney Star versus Forces of Evil featured the first homosexual scene in a cartoon in 2017. So, that, again, 2017 was the big year. Then 2020. 2020 is sort of the next step that was taken to open up the floodgates. The first openly lesbian-supported character was featured for the benefit of 6 to 10-year-olds in Onward. Then the first openly mainly homosexual character came out in a film called Out, and that was for 8-year-olds, and that's a story all about homosexuality. The whole thing's about homosexuality. It's called Out. And then Disney's DuckTales debuted two homosexuals living together as foster parents for some kid. That was April of this year. That's for 5 to 8-year-olds. The point is that in 2017, Bill, Beauty and the Beast was targeting, I'm going to say 16-year-olds, right, or maybe 14-year-olds. And now these are targeting the 5 and 6 and 7, 8-year-olds. And now bisexuality, as of just this weekend, Walt Disney Company is bringing bisexuality into the Disney Channel. The animated series, it's called The Owl House, 14-year-old American girl attracted to both women and men. So bisexuality means that kids can commit sexual sin with whatever, whenever, apparently because the governor of Oregon does it or something like that. So that's where we are today. By the way, the program, The Owl House, is about this misadventures of Luz attempting to learn witchcraft despite her distinct lack of magical ability. She's apparently addressing a romantic involvement between the main character and a female friend on a previous night's episode. So it's witchcraft and sexual perversion going hand in hand in the Disney presentation.
Well, they always do. Those two, the fascination with the occult and sexual perversion do tend to go hand in glove. And we should not be surprised by this. I mean, the occult has played a major factor in a lot of Disney films over the ages. And now, because of the influx of the supposed tolerance of everything perverse, we would expect Disney to be teaching our youth. But they were educated in the schools and the media. And the entertainment industry have walked down the aisle hand in hand on this.
Bill, it's only been the last 10 years where I've become increasingly sensitive to this. I wrote the book, The Tattooed Jesus, What the Real Jesus Would Do with Pop Culture, and basically drew out the trajectories. And, Bill, it wasn't until I drew out the trajectories that I began to see that we had all been taken somewhat by this trajectory. In other words, you don't just buy into the first installment of Harry Potter. Eventually, Harry Potter, his mentor, is a homosexual. So eventually, you discover that How to Train Your Dragon Part 2, you're going to see that Hiccup's mentor is a homosexual, much like the mentors in the gymnasium in the Greek days. And so I guess this has been somewhat of a reality check for me. I'm growing through this. It's not as if I knew what was coming. It hit me hard over the last 10 to 15 years. And Bill, I regret my kids watching Disney flicks, and I'm tossing them. I'm just tossing Disney. I'm getting old VCRs, the old DVDs. I'm tossing Disney. I'm throwing it in the wastebasket. That's where I am right now with this. Ephesians 4:17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of the mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. That's exactly what's going on here, friends. But you have not so learned Christ. It's Paul's word to us, if indeed you have heard him, been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And then Matthew 18:6, remember the words of Christ, whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him than millstones were hanged around his neck and he were drowned in the bottom of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come. But woe to that man by whom the offense comes. So Jesus gives us a heads up here. He says the offenses are going to come. But woe to him that brings them. And Bill, I just don't want to be the guy to bring the offenses to the little ones. And that's the word we come back to again and again. It applies as much to us as to any of you that are listening. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast.
Calling all fathers, young men, and church leaders. This September 28th to October 2nd, join other Christian brothers on the eastern plains of Colorado at the home of Kevin Swanson for a time of spiritual fellowship and growth. You'll experience 5 days of rich teaching, warm fellowship, extended times of prayer, and meals abundant in good food and edifying conversation. Our theme for this year focuses on being steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. 2020 has clearly revealed the shaky foundations many in our society are building their lives upon. Foundations of fear, anxiety, suspicion, accusation, anger, and violence. But the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 reminds us that Christ's resurrection gives us a solid foundation for remaining steadfast and brings purpose and meaning to our labors for the Lord. Join us this September as we gather for a time of spiritual strengthening and refreshment. You can register online today and save with our early bird pricing when you go to generations.org/shepherds. That's generations.org/shepherds.
And we are back on the Generations broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack also in studio. And Bill, we like to come back to cultural issues and social issues as well to get an idea for what's happening in America, especially as compared to other nations. I think it's important for us, certainly humbles us when we realize that maybe we're not the best nation on earth. Here's Pew Research, just came out with this recently. The U.S. has the world's highest rate of children living in single-parent households. Kind of surprised me. I looked at their map. They got a little map up there. And for decades, the share of U.S. children living with a single parent has been rising, accompanied by a decline in marriage rates, a rise in births outside of marriage. This study of 130 nations and territories shows that the U.S. has the world's highest rate of children living in single-parent households. That is, the U.S. is the most dysfunctional nation in the world. That is, and I would take the lack of fatherhood, father hunger, the lack of fathers to be the fundamental social building block of a nation.
I would agree. Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree on that. And the studies have repeatedly shown that that is the case, that that is the determining factor in success or failure for a child, is the presence of a father.
And get this, the U.S. is six times more dysfunctional than Nigeria and five times more dysfunctional than India. I think we have the impression that, you know, America is, we're so special. Bill, we're just special people. Just really special, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we're the best in the world. But you're not the best in the world. As of 2018, 71% of kids born to women under 30 years of age born out of wedlock. 66% of kids born to women under 35 born out of wedlock. Super high. So why this dysfunctionality? What's happening here? Well, Bill, I think one of the main reasons is we are the wealthiest nations and socialist nations. We can still afford our dysfunctionality until we run out of money to afford our psychotropic drugs, of course. But the state can handle it for now. The state can pay for the Band-Aids. The state can pay for the duct tape to hold it all together for now. We have enough money. Well, we have plenty of money, Bill. We have tens of trillions of dollars. Just print it. The state has replaced fatherhood. Men are increasingly non-essential to society. I think we mentioned this recently on the program. Males have been rendered rather useless. And that works out because most males would rather be playing games while Rome burns, and the women and children be well taken care of by the state. To maintain the social disorder, you need a couple of components, six components, essential services. Children and women receive womb-to-tomb benefits by state mandate. Of course, men are non-essential, but these are essential. Children and women receive womb-to-tomb benefits. Government-funded daycare is available to render motherhood non-essential. Also, abortion and free abortifacients via Obamacare, absolutely essential. That way you can unrestrain sexuality without responsibility. Also, homosexuality, pornography, widely available to those who reject a relationship. Divorce, an easy option. Absolutely. You need all these components if you're going to have a social disorder. Also, you need all the educational, economic, and media complex to reject the whole notion of family economy and complete individuation of humanity such that families do not need fathers anymore. That's what you need, friends. And hence, books and articles entitled The End of Men and Demise of Guys are streaming off the presses, and you know the rest. But the state has largely replaced the fathers in the Western world. And I think the answer to this is to bring the family back. By the way, it's also to bring the church back. It's very interesting that the average church member in America gives 2% to God and 51% to the government. Now let that sink in for a moment. The average church member in America gives 2% to God and 51% to government. So, and the widows and orphans, I checked out the Lilly Endowment and their assessment of church budgets. 51% to personnel, 23% to facilities, 11% to missions, 10% to programs, 6% to dues, and nothing measurable for widows and orphans. So you see, the state has replaced the church, and the state has replaced the family in the Western world. So, of course, we've got a massive tyranny. Now, I understand that the church doesn't like us to discuss issues like this. The church doesn't do this kind of thing. The church doesn't take care of widows. The church doesn't obey God's law. The church preaches the gospel. The church doesn't criticize the world systems by bringing out the laws of God and calling people to repentance on things like this. The church doesn't do that. The church preaches the gospel. The church supports the government socialist welfare systems. In fact, the church should receive government subsidies to pass them on to the poor. The world always does that which is right, and it's the church's responsibility to support whatever the world is doing. Now, see, again, that's the way the church has taught me off and on in the past. And yet I think, Bill, we need to be countercultural on this one. We need to come back to men and to women and say, no, wait a minute. That's not the way the Word of God presents this. The Word of God presents this as young men. 1 Timothy 5:8 to me is the key passage. Young men, you have to. You got to provide for your own. If you don't provide for your own wife, if you're 33 years of age and you can't provide for your wife, you can't provide for your aging mother, you can't provide for your aging grandmother, if you're 33 years old and you can't do this, you are worse than an unbeliever. Right. You have denied the faith. You need to be excommunicated from the church. Now, those are hard words.
You need to get
words.
Your act together.
Yeah, but Bill, those are hard words, aren't they?
They are. But it's necessary to shock people into doing what is right. People don't normally, naturally do what is right. They have to be encouraged to do so based on God's word.
And that's the issue, is I think we need to call the family to repentance. We need to call young men to repentance. Men must repent. Men must feel the edge of the sword. If a man does not take care of his own, he has denied the faith. He is worse than an unbeliever. And this is the basic, basic fruit of new life in Christ. And that is that we not be selfish. We not live off of mom and dad. We get married. If that's the way that we're called to give up our lives and take up the cross and follow Jesus, we give up our life for our wife and we provide for our mother and grandmother in their old age. If this fruit is absent, the man is worse than an unbeliever and should be excommunicated from the church. Well, ultimately, what are we saying? What we're saying is, friends, the problem with America is that men need to repent of these sins of selfishness, of slothfulness, and these sins that don't just affect men, but they affect women as well. We need to repent of this pride. We need to repent of this living off the government. And the churches, as well, need to repent, and they need to provide for the widows, who are widows indeed. And we do so by confessing our sins. I mean, granted, these are significant sins. These are huge problems that have yielded tremendous social problems. But the solution, Bill, is ultimately easy. Ultimately, it's just to come to the cross of Jesus and ask for his forgiveness, ask for his cleansing, ask him to set you free from the bondage of slothfulness, the bondage of recreation, the bondage of self-centeredness, and the idolatry of self, and this slothfulness that just so easily consumes us, that we just ask for forgiveness and cleansing, and it turns out that Jesus can save us from these sins. Well, that wraps up this edition of the Generations Radio broadcast, my friends. I'd encourage you to our little book, Family Life, to give you a little bit of a sense for how to restore the biblical family in a totally dysfunctional age. So let me just encourage you to that resource, Family Life, available at our website, generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.